All right, welcome in Upstate. It is a Thursday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. Diesel and I are actually in the studio. We were trying to...
Yeah, to what do I owe this pleasure, Sturge? Well, you're never in here on a Thursday.
Well, here's the deal. We were trying to make it easier on Mark Childress in getting in, but unfortunately, Mark is dealing with some issues.
You change things up for Childress and he doesn't even show.
Well, hold on.
Mark Childress, you should be ashamed of yourself.
No. He's being super dad. He has not only sick wife, he has sick daughter at home from school. So I told him, be dad.
So he's got double trouble, two times the chance to catch it.
Exactly, and stay the hell out of here, because I don't want it headed into the holidays.
This week, Mark Childress, sponsored by Z-Pack.
Exactly. So, Childress, be dad. Make sure you don't bring anything into the studio tomorrow. And best of luck. We hope Carrie Beth and McCain are feeling better.
We should start the show in sick masks, just for him.
So we got a lot of different things we're going to get into. We're running up till 7 o'clock tonight. You can hear Thursday night football action, NFL, here on ESPN Upstate at 8:15. The Green Bay Packers 4-4-1 on the season. They're at the Seattle Seahawks 4-5 on the year. Seattle just removed from really giving the LA Rams a game. So again, Thursday night football action here on ESPN Upstate. Of course, last night we had college basketball action at 7 p.m. That's why we got off the air at 6:30 from Smoke on the Water. Clemson got a 74-59 win over Sam Houston State, led by Marquise Reed's 26 points. The Tigers are now 3-0, and of course, a little bit banged up with Elijah Thomas, so that was a good win, 15 points over Sam Houston State. And the staff announced earlier today they have added three players to the program via signing scholarship letters of intent earlier today. L. Amir Dawes from the Patrick School in Newark, New Jersey. Dawes averaged 17 points a game, 4 assists, chooses Clemson. And this is where, Diesel, when it comes to college basketball, I have to trust things. I don't know. I mean, you know the one-and-done guys. You know, Zion's dunk last night almost makes a mockery of the one-and-done system. The kid could no doubt be playing this year in the NBA. He's physically ready to do it. But Dawes, the new Clemson signee at guard, 6'2", chose the Tigers over Providence, Seton Hall, St. John's, and UConn. So those are all good Big East schools there, and that's good. Now, the next player is Chase Hunter from Westlake High School in Atlanta, Georgia. Hunter is a 6'3 combo guard and was ranked number 4 player in the state of Georgia. He chose Clemson over the Bulldogs, the Virginia Cavaliers, the Oklahoma Sooners, and the Michigan State Spartans. So, again, 4 quality basketball teams that were in his final 5 there. And then, of course, the final one was a 6'4 shooter. So you see the route that they're going, Alex Hemingway. And he's from Indiana, and all I can hear is Hoosiers in my head. You know, when Clemson gets a basketball player out of the state of Indiana who was the number 10 recruit, they call him a sneaky good athlete. But he chose the Tigers over the Nebraska Cornhuskers, Creighton, one of the better teams out there right now, DePaul and Belmont. So, you know, it is what it is. And number 2, I had no reason not to dress up Monday, is Yosef, the App State Mountaineer. The fact that we beat y'all by 8 points should embarrass you. Bama took a 16-point loss earlier today in the Charleston Classic. They suck. I mean, they are really, really bad, Diesel, and there is no Colin Sexton with the Cleveland Cavaliers, a one-and-done last year, coming through the door. That is an offensive mess with Avery Johnson and the Alabama men's basketball team.
Well, I'll tell you that. They didn't look fantastic against App State, but they didn't look bad.
Yeah.
Against App State, they moved the ball pretty well up court. They passed the ball around pretty well. They shot it fairly well throughout most of the game. So I think really what won that game for Alabama on Sunday was just size.
Right.
When it doesn't matter if you can get away with having a little less talent if you are, 5 inches and 25 pounds heavier at every position.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So here's who we're going to talk to on the show today. We're going to talk ACC football with our friend Andrea Adelson of ESPN.com, covers the ACC. That's going to be at 4:37 p.m. Then at 6:20, we'll have Jordan Coons, the voice of the Swamp Rabbits, on as they have a 7 p.m. puck drop tonight down at Bon Secours Wellness Arena against the Norfolk Admirals. Of course, they're back home on Saturday night at 7 p.m. It's Heroes Night. They will take on the Jacksonville Icemen, and then a quick turnaround with a 3 p.m. game on Sunday against the Wheeling Nailers. That's a 3 p.m. puck drop. So Jordan Coons will join us at 6:20. In between, Diesel, we got a lot of different things to get into, but you know, the coaching carousel, that is starting to slowly turn up. You and I are assuming, and you know, assumption is the mother of all screw-ups. You got that one. Yeah, we cleaned that up a little bit there because we want to keep our jobs. But from the great movie Under Siege Part 2, Dark Territory.
Yeah, very underrated movie.
Yes.
From Steven Seagal. It's back before he started really packing on the pounds when he was still pretty thin. And he was probably able to pursue a perp farther than 100 yards.
That and the fact that, you know, he ended up dealing with rappers for his movies, like you mentioned earlier, DMX and some of that stuff, toward the end of his action movie career. But assumption is the mother of all screw-ups. But can we kind of assume that Les Miles has a job on the coaching carousel? Because here's the deal. When LSU let him go a couple of years ago, they owed Les Miles $9 million on his buyout. How they had it structured, they had been paying him like $133,000 a month, something to that tune, ever since then. As of earlier today, LSU still owed Les Miles more than $6.5 million, right at $6.5 million. He and his agent, Jimmy Sexton, just agreed to a $1.5 million lump sum payout. That means Les Miles is leaving $5 million on the table. Now, the payout, the buyout could be affected by a future job. So, does that lead you to believe we've heard his name come up and he may be one of the bigger candidates for the University of Kansas job? But does this likely mean that leaving $5 million on the table? I mean, that's generational money, Diesel.
You don't leave it out there if you don't have another plan.
Right. So whether it's Kansas or somewhere else, it feels like simply something is in the works with Jimmy Sexton and a job for LSU's Les Miles. So that brought up my idea. You know, we talk all the time about an athletic director should have a list of five names at least in his front desk, in his front pocket, when it comes to a potential coaching search. So I put my athletic director's hat on. I came up with my top five candidates and then a sidecar of two others. So that is kind of your question of the day today. If you were an athletic director for your school, and I'm not saying Alabama, I'm just playing Division I football athletic director because I went and looked. Dude, if I could, I'd go plug Lincoln Riley or something, but that's not realistic.
And we all know that Brent Venables is on everybody's list because it seems like every single time a job comes open, they always say he's the number one candidate.
Well, guess what? I don't have Brent Venables on my list. I don't want
because you know he's not going anywhere.
Well, that being one. Number two, athletic directors like coaches are hired to be fired. I'm going to go find somebody that's been there and done that. You know what I mean? I'm a little bit conservative. I went and looked at younger coaches, if you will, because I think that's the route that you want to go for the most part. But I want the guy that's already been there and done that. I don't want to go through the growing pains of a coordinator learning how to be a football coach. So I do not have any assistants on my list. Is that fair?
Okay.
My list will also upset you. All right. A couple other things that we get into today. You know what? We've got the high school football playoffs going on this weekend here in the upstate, all over the Palmetto State. You know, we had a week affected, maybe even two down there in the coastal regions after Hurricane Florence came through earlier this September. Diesel, when I was getting up this morning, I was watching television after getting out of the shower, getting all beautiful to come in here and deal with you, knowing
what
that
happened
this
between
was
now and there, then and now.
I got busy, man. I got busy because, you know, outside of you coming coming in here.
Your day took a sharp left turn
outside
in the beauty
of,
department.
Outside of you coming in here and screwing me with me for the next 3 hours, you basically have the day off. You know what I mean?
Because I have the day off, I have to come in and look at you.
Well, that's a huge if. But, you know.
So these 3 hours really should count as five.
But we're in, hour number three of the Rise Guys on 93.3 The Planet, their radiothon for Toys for Tots down at Bon Secours Wellness Arena. So that gives you double reason to get
actually,
out.
Actually, in hour number 10 right now.
10 something, whatever.
It started at 6 a.m. this morning.
Okay. Well, point being, you can leave us here at 7 p.m. or you could go down there, drop off a toy on your way in for a 7 p.m. puck drop with the Greenville Swamp
That's
Rabbits.
Huge. And it
tonight.
Doesn't have to be an expensive toy. It can be a $10 Nerf football. Well, whatever. They love getting bikes. Every single year they line up all the bikes out there, and it's incredible because the line just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you got kids who love like military equipment, bring them on down there because the Marine Corps is out there. I haven't been down there yet today, but generally in the past, they'll bring a couple of deuce and a half, big trucks. They'll have some other equipment down there. One year they made bunkers out of sandbags, and they put some netting over it. It was really cool. So if you got kids who like that kind of stuff, take them on down there, teach them a lesson in charity, have them take a couple of dollars. I mean, I've even seen one year where a little kid brought their entire piggy bank and said, here, have my piggy bank. And that was awesome.
That's the one that hits you. Yeah, those are the ones that hit you. And again, team it up with a fun night there, hockey with our buddy Jordan Coons and the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. But getting back to real quickly. Yeah, we've dealt with some high school football issues. Of course, you know, a lot of rain here this week. The complete opposite out in California with those wildfires. Man, too many people losing their lives in this. But the Paradise, California high school football team, Diesel, they had to forfeit tomorrow night's high school playoff game in the California State playoffs. Why? The majority of their players, their families' homes had burned down in the last 3 or 4 days. Mm. You want to talk about, you know, various reasons to forfeit a game? Or we were talking yesterday.
Can't even change venue.
Yeah.
Changing venue wouldn't even be appropriate. I mean, you know, some of them may need it as just a sense of normalcy. Okay, here we got to go. We got a game to go play. But at the same time, they got their houses burned down on the back of their minds.
Yes. I mean, here we are going rain, go away. If we could pack some up like the Rise guys doing their service project, we'd fly it out to California and dump some of this out there. But that one really stung me a little bit. You know, an entire high school we mockingly joked in fun, as we like to do on this show, about the D3 team from Richmond, Indiana yesterday that just folded their football program down, not going to finish out the season. That's one thing. Not being able to play because your team doesn't have a home over their head anymore for the most part. That one just kind of hit you in the gut a little bit. Nothing you can do about it. All right, when we come back, we'll open up the phone line. So take your thoughts. Remember, Andrea Adelson at 437. But some news on Zion Williamson that was interesting. Louisville, I ain't believing what some of them are floating out of that town today. And then finally, Wallace Lowe, the president of the University of Maryland, warned the Board of Regents what would happen, and they didn't listen to him, and what a mess. 844-GSP-ESPN. Remember, hour number two, complete hour of open phones. You're an athletic director. Who are you going after? All right, welcome back in. There's a lot of different things going on today. At least it's not pouring down rain, Diesel, but I'm going to give a gift of good news to the upstate of South Carolina, our radio listeners. Beginning tomorrow, we have like 6 consecutive days of sunshine on the horizon. And by God, I'm ready for it. I am literally ready for it. There's been a sense of malaise over the upstate the last couple of days. Even at physical therapy, people were just like, I don't feel like being here today. Yeah, that kind of thing going on. But real quickly, LSU offered Zion Williamson, Diesel. Are you surprised by that in any way, shape, or form? The LSU, you know, Zion last night, 22 points for Duke in their win, including a Twitter-stopping jam in which his armpits were above the rim on the alley-oop. But are you surprised that LSU offered the former Spartanburg Day Griffin private school basketball player in any way, shape, or form?
I'm pretty sure you're not doing your job as a head coach if you didn't offer Zion Williamson.
Well, how about this one? LSU admits earlier today they offered Zion Williamson a football scholarship.
All right.
Spartanburg Day doesn't play football. Zion doesn't play football. But they said with that kind of body that they figured that he could be a tight end or a defensive end or something along those lines. And you know what? I don't disagree one bit whatsoever.
I think I'd rather make the money playing basketball.
I would, too. And you know, Ohio State
reduce
said they
the
would.
Risk of getting a career-ending injury.
Yep. Ohio State said they would assign LeBron James to a football scholarship coming out of Ohio earlier in his career and had him pegged for a tight end defensive end as well. So I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, LSU offers Zion. I'm sitting there thinking, well, who the heck didn't? And you open up and it's they offered him in football. That was kind of intriguing in its own right. Delvin wants to talk college football. Delvin, hope you're having a good afternoon. Whoa. Delvin?
Hello?
Hey, man.
You all right here? Hey. You were talking about Coach's hot seat. Are you surprised? I'm a little surprised that we even heard, like, Coach is already fired already. Or you think, like, we had that many mid-season fires. I think it went to the end of the season. But that's really tricky, though, because don't forget, you got early signing period, too, so that's really tricky. That's why I'm a little shocked they ain't did it, like, not fired anybody mid-season yet. Are you shocked by that?
Well, I think, number one, Louisville had to do it this past weekend. Now Lorenzo Ward has stepped in as the interim head coach. And I think there's a lot of posturing at this point, Delvin, waiting to see what some others are going to do. You know what I mean? But it does allow you to get a little ahead of the game like Kansas and Louisville are doing. And Louisville's making it – they're acting – Dan Dockich from the radio up there is saying that Jeff Brohm will be announced on Monday, November 26th. Is the new Louisville football coach, and I don't believe that one bit right now whatsoever.
Yeah, you can't go there. You better see. You know what he's doing now? He's doing the same thing. Tennessee fans got to have about what somebody said that John Gruden will be the head coach. Turn out John Gruden wasn't even the head coach. And get all the people hope, so you can't do that to people like that.
Well, I agree with you, and enjoy your afternoon. Here's the thing. I get the fact that Jeff Brohm going back to Louisville as the alma mater, I just wouldn't do it right now. 2 years removed. This is second year at Purdue. You know, they've got one of the wins of the year. Now, they laid an egg up at Minnesota this past weekend, but that 49-20 beatdown of Ohio State earlier this year, literally one of the moments, stopgap moments of the season so far. And I just don't look at Louisville right now with all the mess going on, having to buy out Petrino and maybe that's the, you know, but Dan, my buddies with ESPN Louisville haven't been able to put their finger on it, but Dan Dockich has, and of course, it's now been picked up by the national media. You know, that's going to be played 100 different ways between now and Monday, November 26th.
You know, I get it. When you're the hot name, you got to take the jobs because you never know. You may have one hot season and then you fall off for two and nobody wants you anymore. But from the university perspective, I can't believe that schools are not giving an introductory offer, especially on unproven head coaches, especially when we're talking about coordinators, not so much head coaches who have had some experiences at one or two or three stops, or excuse me, more than one stop in their career and had success. I can't fathom that they're throwing this kind of money around. You put your university in a very precarious position, a la how long has it been since Les Miles was fired from LSU? 6 years? Five years?
No, just a couple of years. It was the
40, let's just say it's 4 years ago. They're still paying them. You know, what'd you say? It was $190,000 a month?
$133,000 a month.
Yep. It's insane that they're still paying them that kind of money. So, I granted, if you're one of these big universities, you probably have the donors who will pay for it. But it just seems that's like you're putting your school in a bad position by throwing this kind of enormous money at somebody who hasn't proven in more than one place that they know how to win.
Well, that's the thing. the buyout's only one part of this deal. You know, you got to get together the package that you're going to offer the new coach. So, again, that's what Dan Dockage from Louisville is reporting Monday, November 26. You know what? If there's any truth to that, and Jeff Brohm is probably upset that it's out there this far in advance. You know why? You got a game this weekend, a game next weekend as well. All right, one more piece of news that broke today is you can't fix stupid. Is that Tater Salad that made that comment? You can't fix stupid. But the University of Maryland Board of Regents, you know, they screwed up a couple of weeks ago when they tried to bring DJ Durkin back as head coach. And, of course, the national media, everybody. Their president, who is retiring here at the end of the year, Wallace Lowe, warned the Board of Regents, said, quote, "The decision to retain DJ Durkin would not go over well." Wanted and went on to say, quote, "The campus would explode." This is what the president told the Board of Regents. Said that, quote unquote, "the campus would explode," and quote unquote, the retaining of him would not go over very well. Well, that's putting it mildly, but at least the president, Wallace Lowe, had an idea of what the blowback was going to be. Do you now realize that maybe we have to take this stuff out of the Board of Regents' hands because they did a fanboy move there? You know what I mean? These guys made a business decision that they would not make in their own boardroom. These guys get on Board of Regents, Board of Trustees. Why, Diesel? Because they've been very successful in their business life. But when it comes to athletics, they become emotional and they make decisions that they wouldn't normally make. That is it is unfathomable to me that some smart business people that are worth a bunch of money got this warning from the president of the university and did not heed it. Absolutely blows my mind. So DJ Durkin will not, from what I understand, somebody asked at the press conference on Tuesday, you know, Will Muschamp came to his defense earlier this year, at the beginning of the season. He will not be on any way, shape, or form the University of South Carolina staff next year. That's what I was told, and we shall see. Don't forget, the Gamecocks host Chattanooga. That's a 7:30 kickoff down in Williams-Brice Stadium, and, of course, they're having Senior Day as well as Military Appreciation Day. It's a 7 p.m. kickoff in Death Valley for the Clemson Tigers. It's Military Appreciation Day as well, and we can let you know, Diesel, you know, you ejected me from my own lawn yesterday when it came to the rant about those nasty, ugly, fluorescent green jerseys that Notre Dame won, and you giggled on Twitter and thought you won. Clemson will be wearing orange helmets, purple jerseys, purple pants on Saturday. You're probably waiting for me to explode and go, why? Because times that they've done it in the past, they've looked like Barney out there on the field running around with the purple. But It's done for Military Appreciation Day.
Yeah, I say if you're going to do it, go all purple. Wear the purple helmet with the white tiger paw in the middle. I think that would look pretty cool.
How about
cool.
A chrome one? White?
I say purple people eaters all the way.
But, yeah, at least the uniforms are better now. A couple times when they wore purple on purple in the Tommy Bowden era, it did. It looked like Barney the dinosaur running around with the Clemson helmet on. You know what I mean? But I get it. It's Military Appreciation Day. Remember, Clemson, third most amount of graduates killed in World War II, only behind the Naval Academy and West Point. So, Military Appreciation Day. You know, it blows people's minds when they come to the upstate. They don't know. They've seen the name Clemson, watched him in the college football playoff, and I tell them when my dad graduated from 1957, it was a military school. Your freshman year, you were given your gun and told to sleep with it. Imagine pulling that off in 2018.
You know, I remember watching, you would know which one it is by name, but it was the ESPN 30 for 30 on Ole Miss. Ghosts of Ole Miss, yeah. I think is what it might have been called.
Ghosts of Mississippi.
Yeah, they were talking about during the Civil War when Ole Miss started sending, or when the state of Mississippi started sending troops into the war, all but four of the entire student body of Ole Miss University was killed.
Wow.
in the Civil War.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk ACC football. It's our friend. It's our buddy. We better not call her our sweetie. Andrea Adelson covers the ACC for ESPN.com. 6:20, we'll talk with Jordan Coons of the Swamp Rabbits. Remember, they have a 7 p.m. puck drop tonight against the Norfolk Admirals at Bon Secours. Welcome back in. Diesel back there trying to work and get a dial tone out so we can get with our friend Andrea Adelson from ESPN. There's been all kind of funky stuff going on around here with the weather and everything else the last few days. But ACC football this weekend looks like this. At noon on Saturday, likely Clemson opponent in the ACC championship game, Pittsburgh's at Wake Forest. That's a noon kickoff, 12:20, NC State at Louisville. And, of course, this will be the Cardinals' first game without head coach Bobby Petrino, and writing a really great piece on Sunday about the former Louisville Cardinals head coach. It's our friend Andrea Adelson from ESPN.com. Give her a follow on Twitter at @AAdelsonESPN. And listen, I hope things are better in Central Florida than they are here in the upstate of South Carolina after well over a half a foot of rain here at the beginning part of the week.
Well, it rained here a little bit, but hey, I'm always happy when the temperature is 75 degrees and it's November and everyone's got rain and snow up north. So
we'll take it. Diesel just stuck his tongue out at you. You know I wouldn't do that to you, Andrea. But hey, listen, before we can look forward to this weekend, let's look back. You did a really, really good piece Sunday on Bobby Petrino and his firing at Louisville, and we knew it was coming. How did things get this far askew in 2 years? I mean, 2 years ago, they came into Clemson as a favorite with Lamar Jackson, who goes on to win the Heisman Trophy. Now they don't look much better than an FCS team.
Yeah, and it was actually 2 years ago today, this Thursday, that they were number 5 in the College Football Playoff rankings, going on the road to play Houston. And there was this discussion about whether a one-loss Louisville as a non-conference champion could get in. And they get absolutely blown out against Houston. And a lot of what we saw in that game, just a general lack of interest, lack of execution, terrible offensive line play, a team that had given up mentally after things went bad. That's kind of what we've seen out of Louisville this season and what has allowed everything to just snowball and get out of control for this program. So even back then in that loss to Houston, you started to see just some early glimpses of cracks beneath the surface. The problem was that Lamar Jackson was so great and so fun to watch that every single question anybody had about Louisville was about Lamar Jackson. Would he be able to hold on and win the Heisman Trophy? Was the offensive line going to be any better for Lamar Jackson? And then going into the following season, could Lamar win another Heisman? What was going to happen with Lamar in the run game? Was he going to be a better passer? What kinds of things were they doing in the offseason to make Lamar Jackson a better overall quarterback? That you kind of ignored the fact that assistant coaches were leaving en masse. They were having to replace coordinators on the defensive side every single season, essentially. And they lost some really talented players to the NFL, by the way, beyond just Lamar. And so you get to the season now, and you've got a young team, no real leadership to speak of on the field. Their best leader gets hurt in the season opener against Alabama, where they get absolutely crushed, which we all expected. But in hindsight, when you look back at just all of these problems, you didn't question, why are all these assistants leaving? Why does Bobby Petrino have so many relatives on his staff? Why are they on their third defensive coordinator in 3 years? I think we all started to get answers to those questions as this season went on, and you just saw a team that didn't care, wasn't giving a lot of effort, and was completely out of it essentially after week four. And so that's where Louisville got to be as a program. I think a big reason why we all kind of clued in late to it was just because Lamar Jackson was so good at covering up a lot of those mistakes.
Well, Andrea Adelson, you talked about how many problems there were within that program. And, you know, we all know these problems really don't usually start at the coaching level. They start from the higher level. What was your thought when you found out that the announcement was made while he was on the air doing his coach's show? I think that's sort of indicative of where that program is as a whole. That was the timing they chose.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That screen grab will live in infamy, guys, with Bobby just looking completely glum, and then on the bottom it says that he's been fired. You know, one thing that I didn't mention in terms of how we got to this point is, let's not forget, his good friend Tom Jurich hired him back. The only person really willing to take a chance on Bobby Petrino when he hired him back to Louisville, because he had been disgraced. And so he gives him a lifeline, and there's really nobody else that's coming after Bobby at this point. He negotiates him a sweetheart of a deal in his contract with his buyout that he ends up getting owed. And as soon as Tom Jurich got fired last year in the wake of the basketball scandal, you kind of started to feel that maybe Bobby Petrino wasn't going to have anybody who embraced him 100% anymore the way that Tom Jurich did, always covering for his mistakes, always making excuses for him. He was the guy who always gave Bobby Petrino that support no matter what. The new athletic director comes in there, Vince Tyree, and he doesn't really have any kind of pre-existing relationship with Bobby Petrino, and suddenly there isn't really anybody there at the top who's willing to protect him or give him cover anymore. And so as this season continued to go downhill, Vince Tyree got more and more concerned about the direction of the program. I was at the Louisville-Clemson game specifically to report on Louisville, kind of seeing the writing on the wall. And I saw the athletic director, and he just kept saying, I really didn't anticipate having to make this type of decision when I was hired here a year ago. But he just saw no spark, no momentum. What's the reason for me to keep Bobby Petrino? And ultimately, he decided there wasn't really any reason for me to keep going here. What's the point of letting him coach out the year? Might as well just cut him loose right now and get that coaching search started much earlier than maybe people anticipated.
As we continue with Andrea Adelson, ESPN.com, primetime matchup. Duke headed down 7-3 to take on Clemson, who's looking to go 11-0 for the fourth time in program history, Andrea. But you mentioned Cut talking about Daniel Jones earlier this week. He's moved up to number 18 on the big board. Listen, he's going to have to put up some jaw-dropping numbers for Duke to have a chance, but I just keep looking at the defensive side of the ball. Duke's been bad at on the rushing defense the last three games, giving up 10 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards. Is there any chance that Clemson could find themselves on the bottom side of a game Saturday? Because I think Travis Etienne's going to have a field day.
Yeah, I really do not see that happening. And, you know, Duke is a team that I give them a lot of credit for being bowl eligible at this point, considering the rash of injuries that they have had to overcome, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you know, they're missing a lot of their best players on defense. And so the fact that they're already bowl eligible, once again, I think just speaks to David Cutcliffe and the tremendous job that he's done there at Duke. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the way this Clemson defense is playing right now, I would be shocked if Duke finds a way to score 21 points in this game. And they're going to need to score in the 20s to at least be able to keep up with what Clemson is doing on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Daniel Jones is an absolute surefire NFL talent. There is no question about that. And I think those of us who watched him in the ACC and his development saw this coming, that he'd probably leave school, you know, after his junior year. We anticipated him having this type of season this year, but you know, the disparity in terms of the depth, and that's really what it is, the depth that Clemson has compared to the depth that Duke has. I have a really hard time seeing how Duke stays within three touchdowns in this game.
All right, the other and what's not a bad weekend of matchups for the Atlantic Coast Conference, the other premier game has to be number 12 Syracuse, number 3 Notre Dame in Yankee Stadium. I went ahead last week, and I'm going to stick by it. I'm going to call the upset, because like Eric Dungy, you know, two-headed monster, the way he runs the offense. I don't know. Is he in book? How healthy is he? Wimbush looked good last week, but I went ahead and called my shot a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to stick by it. Do I have a chance?
Well, I called the same shot, so okay. I'm in the same boat as
all
you.
Right.
You know, I really like the way that you know, Syracuse has played essentially the entire season. You know, yeah, they've had a couple losses, and they probably should have lost North Carolina, quite honestly. But, you know, this is a team that has taken on that personality of Dino Babers. And that's what I think makes them so fun to watch. You know, you mentioned Eric Dungy, and I think they're going to have an opportunity to score some points in this game. But really, to me, I think the biggest key is going to be that Syracuse defense, but specifically that defensive line, which has been really good this season in the ACC. They've got the top sack duo in the ACC. I think that probably surprised a lot of people with Alton Robinson and Kendall Coleman. But, you know, it's slowing down Dexter Williams, Notre Dame's outstanding running back, and really getting after Ian Book, because I don't know how healthy he is either. And so if you can get after Ian Book a little bit, rattle him, make him uncomfortable, hit him maybe a couple of times, then I think that's when Syracuse maybe can give him give themselves an opportunity to stay with Notre Dame and to be in this game going into the fourth quarter. You know, Syracuse's run defense hasn't been spectacular. Clemson fans know that firsthand. And so that's going to be the biggest challenge, is slowing down Dexter Williams and making sure that Notre Dame doesn't get the type of balance that they like to have in their offense. So if they're able to at least contain Dexter Williams, get some pressure on Ian Book, then I think Syracuse has a great chance to pull the upset in this game.
Well, Andrea, our best to you, the girls, and especially if Eric Adelson, your husband with Yahoo Sports, has to do a write-up on this England-USA game at Wembley Stadium, because it's going to be tough putting lipstick on a pig.
You can say that again. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Andrea. She's the best. Andrea Adelson for ESPN.com. Go follow her on Twitter at AAdelsonESPN. And Diesel, you put the screen grab up of Bobby Petrino.
Screen grab that'll live in infamy. That's a great quote.
The thing is the timing on it, it looks like he's finding out that he's fired
right there. Just the fact that he's sort of looking down in the direction of the scroll.
This had been recorded, you know, the night before, but the timing on this, it's like, I'm not even sure a smart aleck junior producer at the local television station
could have timed that up.
Exactly. Sometimes life just happens and you roll with it. 844-GSP-ESPN. I'm putting on my athletic director's cap. No, it's not a get-off-my-lawn moment, but the coaching carousel's heating up. Well, I got asked last night if I was an athletic director who I'd hire. Well, I went home and created a list. We'll start giving you that when we come back. Welcome back in. Listen, we got open phones till 6:20. We're going to get into our athletic role, director's role, here at the top of the hour. But Diesel, talking with Andrea Adelson, you put out and I retweeted the screen grab. You can follow Diesel at Diesel on Radio. You can follow me at Sturgis Sports at ESPN Upstate, as well as hit us up on the Help There text line at 71307. But, screenshot will live in infamy.
It's incredible.
But you know what? It's not just Bobby Petrino. It looks like the entire Petrino coaching tree is going to be shriveling up and dying here over the next week.
Yeah, and I feel bad for Paul Petrino out at Idaho, putting into a very, very rough position, dropping back down to FCS. And I believe players had the right to transfer out without any repercussions. Because of such a sudden change. But this year is not going well for the Fighting Vandals. They're currently sitting at 4-6, 2-5 in the Big Sky. Their losses have come at the total of 79-13 at Fresno State, 44-21 at UC Davis, 62-28 at Idaho State, 24-23 at Montana State. That's really the only loss that they've even been competitive in. They lost 38-14 at Eastern Washington. They lost 46-27 to Montana in Moscow, and they closed the season out.
Moscow, Idaho, by the way.
Moscow, Idaho, correct. They closed the season out on Saturday at number 13, Florida.
Ooh, so...
you know, it would be just Idaho if they somehow managed to win that game.
Well, you say you feel sorry for him. I don't necessarily, because from what we understand, much like his older brother, Paul's not the nicest guy out there. So anyway, all right, little history lesson. Do you know the name of the dome that the University of Idaho plays in out there?
The Kibbe Dome.
Yep. Do you know which that's where Furman won their first, you can say it back in the day, 1AA national championship against the Georgia Southern The Stank.
Anytime the Stank loses, fail Southern. Yep. What I say.
But that's where I believe the first Furman National Championship was won, and they welcomed three players in college basketball. They're now 3-0 with a great upset on the road at Chicago.
Have you ever watched any footage of games inside that Kibbe Dome? It is depressing.
Yeah, yeah.
The walls are just this tan color. The seats are brown. There's no, they could paint a mural. They're in the Big Sky Conference now. So they've got these giant white walls. They could paint paint sky and clouds on it, some mountains in the distance. I don't know, something.
Irv Cross from in the day from CBS's NFL Today with Brent Musburger ended up becoming the athletic director at Idaho for a while. So you can send your complaints. I don't think he's any longer there. All right, Southern Conference this weekend at 1:30 on Saturday. Presbyterian makes the trek up I-26 to take on the Wofford Terriers. PC 2-7 on the year. Wofford 7-3 and looking to clinch probably a FCS playoff bid. Still an interesting matchup. Furman 5-4. They're at Mercer 5-5. Former Furman head coach Bobby Lamb on the sideline for the Mercer Bears. I think the margin is very slim, but Furman at 6-4 and what's been a very jumbled up Southern Conference, still potentially with the chance to get in that playoff at the FCS level. Why? Because they've expanded that from 16 to 24 teams. So still a chance, not likely, but the flame has not been completely extinguished. But let's pretend School X in Division I football at the Power 5 level, their coaching career of the current coach has come to an end, and we're the athletic director for said school. Who am I going to reach out to? They say a good athletic director should have five names. I'm going to bring you seven.